Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. Hey, Seth, we had someone in the chat say that what CJ was probably saying when he called Marvin Harrison Jr. a worldly talent is he probably meant otherworldly talent.
Oh, good call there.
Good job. Good job, Chatter.
Otherworldly talent. Yes, good job. Good job.
Way to go.
I wonder where that's pretty good. You know what? That's a pretty good adjective for really good adjective for a 22, 23-year-old kid to be using.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe CJ's been reading in the offseason.
Well,
otherworldly isn't like a common, I don't think that's like that's not on my list of slang for, to catch up on with the youth.
No, otherworldly? You know? No.
Yeah.
No. He's definitely been reading because he said I've been reading these draft guides that say that he's the most NFL ready, but he didn't say draft guides, but he said I've been reading that Marvin Harrison is more NFL ready, but these other guys have potential. CJ, welcome to Draft Nick World. Okay. So, D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday, and I would say if there's an area of criticism for the Texans right now in the offseason, it's that the interior of the defensive line doesn't feel like it's been upgraded necessarily, just purely talent for talent, right?
Yeah.
Malik Collins traded for a 7th-round pick. Sheldon Rankins, who did some good things last year, he leaves. You bring in some journeyman types in Foley Fatakasi and Tim Settle, and you've got some guys still in the room like Khalil Davis and Kurt Heinisch. It feels a little unfinished. Here's D'Amico Ryans yesterday on what the Texans are looking for in defensive tackles.
With our defensive tackles position, what we're looking for, we play an attack style front, and we want guys who can attack. We want guys, you can do that no matter the size, right? You talk about, is there a certain size you're looking for? I've seen guys do it at 280, 290, seen guys do it at 315. So there's a different range for different types of players. It's all about our guys just being explosive up front and being able to do what we're asking them to do.
Okay. So he doesn't have a type, Seth, he claims.
He doesn't have a type, except that he did mention the range 285 to 315. I feel like for anybody that was really, really hoping for Tavondre Sweat, you're about 40 pounds outside the range right there. I don't know if Tavondre Sweat's going to cut a cut. I do. I like Tavondre Sweat in the way he plays a lot. He just flat out needs to lose at least 20 pounds.
Yeah.
But I don't need to beat that to death. I just don't. I think if they do take Tavondre Sweat at some point, it'll be a little bit of a rhythm changer and different from what they typically do. But sometimes a rhythm changer is good. The whole, he went into it another point too, where they talked about some of the draft day stuff, and he kind of coach speaked his way through it, where it was a mess. Frankly, they thought they were getting Eric Armstead back. At some point, they were trying to re-sign Sheldon Rankins. They lost both of their starters without getting anything back in return. And I think they had looked at Eric Armstead, I'm guessing, as an upgrade over Malik Collins. So they end up not just without Eric Armstead, but without Malik Collins either.
Yeah.
And that's the one area where I'm thinking D'Amico, who wants to build with the front seven and with the defensive line specifically, I'm guessing he feels like he doesn't really have the difference maker that he wants or needs in there right now, that he wants somebody like Eric Armstead.
Yep. Here was D'Amico Ryans on Aziz Al-Shaair, somebody he coached as his position coach in San Francisco, who is now coming here to play linebacker for the Texans.
By adding Aziz to our team, you guys see we're getting a tenacious player, a guy who plays with relentless passion, energy, physical. The thing with Aziz that stood out for me last year was his first time really getting the opportunity to play full-time as a starter. And you know, he had been in a backup role when we were there in San Francisco for a while, and he showed that he was capable of running the show and showed that he was able to stay healthy throughout the entire year. So he was durable, he was a playmaker, he was physical, he was the leader of that defense. So excited to add, you know, not only Aziz as a player, but Aziz the leader, and I think he's grown as a leader, and I'm excited to work with him again.
And he's wearing jersey number zero. He's agent zero. Yeah,
Aziz. That's Elsner. Right. Yeah. He wore number two last year, I believe.
Did he?
So
yeah.
he's accustomed to the non-typical, non-traditional numbers. I do think it's a smart move for linebackers. They end up looking faster than they actually are when they wear a skill position player number.
Yeah,
if we saw that. Well, it wasn't with Blake Cashman.
Denzel Perryman wore six.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the example you were looking for.
No, I was thinking of Garrett Wallow. What number is Garrett Wallow? He's 30-something.
He's like 32, I think.
Which I always – you know what it did with Garrett Wallow is he is very fast, but I thought he was smaller than he was.
Yeah.
There's something about that 30. He was wearing – especially because it's Tyrann Mathieu's number.
Yep.
So when you see like when the previous guy who had worn that number on your team – there'd be one thing if it was a huge hulking running back or something, but because he was wearing Tyrann Mathieu's number, I felt like Garrett Wallow was smaller than he actually was.
Yep.
I think with Alshire – The interesting thing here is, I don't know if you remember, Sean. I didn't want to make a huge deal out of it, but at the end of the season, there was an instance where somebody asked D'Amico Ryans a question about Blake Cashman, and it was like the classic, like, "Hey, isn't Blake Cashman awesome? How awesome has Blake Cashman been this year?" And D'Amico kind of, I'd say he slow played it in comparison to some of the other players that he's gushed about. And I would say even in comparison to the way he had talked about Blake Cashman previously, I think that there were some signs and indications as the year petered out that Cashman wasn't the exact guy that he wanted in there.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch Alshire, you see very much an old school linebacker in that, okay, this dude might as well have a crew cut or something. And he just wants to hit people and be mean to people and do all of these other things that old school linebackers do. That's what Alshire is, and I think he fits the mold of what D'Amico wants on his defense more so than some other guys.
It's the second time they tried to get him. They tried to get him last year. Like, he's coveted him here since he got here.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm Alshire. Like, if I were a woman and the guy was saying, like, yeah, well, I mean, I tried to get a hold of you, and like, you left a message on my answering machine once. Yeah, the Titans signed me for 1 year, $5 million. Yeah, you really went after me pretty hard, didn't you?
Okay,
let's can it with the we went after you.
I didn't realize it was only $5 million that he made from the Titans last year. But that's a good sign.
It was a one-year deal, too. Yeah. Like, so it wasn't like that. If the Texans had really come after him, they could have gotten him.
Well, he's got 3 years, $34 million now, so they made up for it, Seth. All right, so if you were a woman, I would tell you, get over it, babe, okay?
Would you call me Toots?
A Toots. Listen, broad. all right, let's get one more from D'Amico. Ben, let's skip to 15 here. Man, the Texans are getting asked a lot about complacency and year two. There's a lot of people that are treating the Texans like they feel like they won the Super Bowl last year or something. But here was D'Amico Ryans talking about guarding against things going into year two of his.
The biggest thing, I think, Kim, from year one to year two is you have to watch guys who've had a lot of success. Right, guys, you can't fall into a trap of that you've made it, right? Just because you have success in year one, that doesn't garner that you're going to instantly have success in year two. Right? You still have to put in even more work, right? Because now, oh, you have a year worth of tendencies on tape. Other teams around the league are watching you. They're kind of honing in on what you do well. So how are you going to attack your offseason and truly focus on improving your craft and being better than you were in year one? Guys can't, you know, you can't fall asleep to, oh, I did it 1 year, it's easy, and you relax your second year. That's the biggest thing I've seen where guys kind of have that drop in their second years where they relax and they think they have that I made it moment. Nobody's ever made it. You continue to put the work in, you dive in even harder because you've had success.
I think if there's one area last year that really stuck out in terms of teams realizing what the offense was doing and what CJ liked to do. It was on a lot of those outs, those intermediate outs to Nico Collins and to Tank Dell. You would see the window really start to close more and more on those, and it really came to a head in the Bengals game. I think that's when, like, CJ was lacing some beautiful and well-placed balls to the sideline, but the Bengals were all over him. And that's where, like, okay, what's the next step after that? Some of this relies upon your offensive line, but it's, you know, hitting guys with double moves when they start jumping routes and starting to see how teams are starting to game you. I think CJ did a good job with that. Mm-hmm. CJ saw the adjustments. Then he saw the adjustments to the adjustments, and he kind of went through a whole syllabus over the course of last year with that. So I don't worry that he's gonna advance along those lines, because there's no part of CJ that has that attitude of like, well, I've seen everything I need to see here. There's
no.
Like, frankly, there's no Baker Mayfield to him. Like, Baker Mayfield, or like the worst case scenario would be Johnny Manziel, where there's like an unearned cockiness, like with no actual understanding of the troubles yet to come or the challenges that you'll face that you can't even comprehend at this point. CJ knows that there's a lot that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
So, I watched that Tom Brady podcast.
Hmm.
Or the podcast he did with that little barber dude.
Yeah, Deep Cut podcast.
With Vic Blends. And I think it must be Michael Rubin. That's the CEO of Fanatics, who's a common acquaintance of CJ. Because there was some saying that Tom Brady had said in there. He said, oh, one of my friends says this all the time. But it was something about, like, if you're not learning, you're dying or something like that. And CJ said the exact same thing at some point. Really left an impression on me, as you can tell, that I can't remember the exact term. But very much along those lines that you can never stop learning. Like, there's always, oh, that's what it is. The amount of things you know in comparison to the amount of things you don't know is, like, you have a very small number of things that you do know. The amount of things that you don't know is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And you always have to keep that in mind, that there's always something more to learn. I've heard CJ say the same version of what Tom Brady has said. So thank you, Michael Rubin, for keeping our quarterback appropriately humble.
I get the sense with CJ, too. He legit enjoys doing this stuff, learning this stuff. Like, it's a puzzle to him in a way. You know what I mean? Like, he...
Something else that Tom Brady had said about the entire time he played, he always had fun with it. Never felt like...
Did he really?
He admitted that he looked psychotic about it, and he was, but that he always... He just loved going and learning and being curious about learning more and everything. I think CJ's got that same
100%. I think that's CJ. Yeah. No question about it.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Let's hit the phones here real quick and go to Stafford. Larry's there. What's going on, Larry? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Sean and Seth? Hey, let's do some housekeeping real quick. Number one, hey, Houston Rockets, 41-41. Okay, now your ass is on the clock to get in the winning season and get in the playoffs. We tired of watching that old silly not going to the playoff basketball. I'm glad y'all had a good season. I like what y'all got over there. Y'all got some pieces that you can put to use to go out there and get us back to where we're supposed to be. Housekeeping thing number two. Jose Abreu sucks, man, and I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to watch him play baseball, man. I was at the game last night, and when he couldn't dig that ball out, man, I got so pissed off, man, and I threw everything that I had in my hands up in the air, man, because I can't figure out how this dude has fallen off this bad. And the fact that we let Yuli Gurriel go to pick him up and pay him that money, Jeff Bagwell, I heard you on the radio over the weekend. You didn't talk about your ass had her hand in that kind of stuff, man. That's a waste, man. It's just not even fun. And that at-bat he had yesterday, his first at-bat, I thought my son was trying to swing a bat, and he a pitcher. So I don't know what the hell was going on with Jose, but we could get over that, man, and find us our first baseman. Now, all of that out the way, them Houston Texans are back in town. And when them boys come back to town, that means I come back to town. Couple things. CJ, Oreo going to have a little life left, man, but we'll find you another dog because you're a dog. So we're going to be all right, man. Keep rubbing on Oreo over there. Keep enjoying that. He's your dog, man. But understand, man, that them shit shoes and them little dogs have a lifespan, man. Next. Did y'all see Joe Mixon walk into that damn stadium over there? He did not look like Devin Singletary. Joe Mixon looked like a running back, dog. And that got me excited over there because I could tell you, man, this running game and if this offensive line hold up, we should have an explosive-ass offense over there, man, because we got the dude pulling the trigger, and now they ain't got everything that they need on the offensive side of the ball in terms of wide receiver. We going to be just fine. Hey, Houston Texans, I don't know why y'all ass ain't put Stephon Diggs' ass in front of a camera yet. I don't give a damn what he did in Minnesota and Buffalo. Stephon Diggs has come to Houston to try to get my boys to the Super Bowl. Let his ass get in front of a camera so that y'all can ask him a couple of questions. He's going to be all right, man. He is not going to tear up a locker room that has C.J. Stroud in it and D'Amico Ryan's watching over it. Last thing before I let y'all go. If y'all ass has a problem with them uniforms when they come out, man, because we get new uniforms. Look, I'm an OG, man. I like the classic style and everything. But your ass got to move into the 21st century. If you still only doing missionary position with your old lady, that's what you feel about them old silly-ass uniforms not being changed, man. Them uniforms are going to be hitting like butter on toast, man, and I can't wait to get released. And as a member of the fan council, your boy, I already seen him, and you know I like him, so y'all know what's going down in our hall.
I appreciate you, Larry. Yeah, uniform reveal a week from today.
So. To recap Larry's call, yes. The Rockets are 41-41, and that's good. Jose Abreu sucks. We, as a fan base, were justifiably more angry at Abreu than over the person who got the actual error on that play last night, Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena has a bad throw to first, and we are all angry at Jose Abreu. Joe Mixon looks like a running back. Mm-hmm. Why hasn't Stephon Diggs been an oppressor yet? He's going to shame anybody in advance who doesn't like the uniform reveal. He is done with the missionary position.
Yeah.
And what was the last one? I said Larry likes... And then H.I., and then it trailed off.
Oh, yeah. There's
a flurry of note-keeping by
me. I was watching your note-keeping while I was listening to the call.
You were trying to take up for the missionary position. You lost that.
Stop.
You lost the plot.
Why hasn't Stephon Diggs had a press conference? Why haven't we heard from him yet?
Why hasn't Stephon Diggs, and did anybody ask yesterday if Stephon Diggs was there?
No, I didn't see any attendance questions.
I didn't see any of the. It was. I thought that would have been like the number one, the first question asked.
Yeah,
or one of the first ones.
Well, especially because it's not just Stephon Diggs. I mean, like Laremy Tunsil. Like, are we gonna? Do we have confirmation he's not there, or do we just assume that he's not there because he doesn't do the voluntary stuff? You know,
I feel like they're a little bit. Everything's very touchy these days with attendance at OTAs, and teams are very. They don't want to ever make it look like they're shaming somebody for not being there. So, I don't know. Maybe they talk to the people in advance before that. I don't know. I was surprised that the question wasn't answered. I try not to kill the people who are actually asking the questions at the press conference because it's harder than it seems, and they're the ones who are actually there. So, whatever. But I was surprised that wasn't asked.
Because the answer to us could always be, well, why don't you go and ask the question?
Yeah, exactly. Right. No. And it is. Well, I know that sometimes, you know what happens is people have their questions. There's a few people there asking questions, and they kind of got in their minds what they want to get out. And I think sometimes they assume that somebody else is going to ask that question. And then all of a sudden, 15 minutes pass by, and like the one of the more relevant questions wasn't asked.
Yeah, so. I am curious if Diggs is there. I'm very curious why we haven't heard from him yet since becoming a Houston Texan. You know, that
is he like in training or something? Is he doing media training?
Seems odd. They're
role playing in case he gets asked. Certain questions or whatever.
Did he? I didn't follow his press conference demeanor that much in Buffalo. Was he Was he a guy who got chippy with the media?
I know that people up in Buffalo, for one, remember there was that off-mic moment or off-camera moment where there was a Bill staffer was heard to say that he can be a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
He can be a handful. So there was that. And then there was what the people up in Buffalo said, that he does a little bit of the old Bill O'Brien Southern Belle of like, hey, ask me anything. But then when you ask him that, he gets upset that you asked him that question.
Right.
Yeah. I'll talk about anything, but not that, damn it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think there was a little bit of tempestuousness sometimes in press conferences.
Tempestuousness. That's a great word. All right.
I got to keep up with CJ.
If Jim Crane, I know, worldly, tempestuous. Let's circle back to what Larry was saying about Jose Abreu to a degree. If Jim Crane were an actual general manager, how close would he be to getting fired right now?
Ooh.
That is next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.